Hi, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We have a wonderful guest today. I'm looking forward to introducing all of you to her. But beforehand, you know, I have the same business I do before every show, and that is to ask you for your comments. You know, we'd love to not only plan programs, but we'd love to hear your ideas. Maybe you have a topic or something you would like us to investigate. Love to hear that. I'll give you two ways of reaching us. First, you can go to traditional, putting a stamp on an envelope and writing us a letter. And I'd ask you to send that to Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. Again, that's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. And the zip code in Greenwich is 06836. That's 06836. If you're on the computer, rather email us. You could do that easily at clemens10@aol.com. That's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, then the number 10, at AOL.com. While you're on the computer, I'd like to invite you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. You could find that at the following website, spirituality.org. That's spirituality.org. Very important, because .com will take you to something else. So spirituality.org. Well, now the time has come. First, to let you know that my co-host, Dorothy Riere, cannot be with us today. So I am delighted on a nice little one-to-one conversation today with our guest, who is Maureen Neuberger. And Maureen is a director of the Senior Nutrition Program for Catholic Charities of Fairfield County. We have been very fortunate to have a number of the directors of various programs at Catholic Charities with us, and we are blessed again today. Now, first, Maureen, welcome to Thoughts for the Week.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Father Ray.
And we're happy to have you here. You know, this program, as an old-timer myself, and also dealing with and certainly having many friends in the position of coping with nutrition as a senior, as well as everything else as a senior, I am more and more aware of how important this program is. But let me, before we get into that, I'd like to just ask you a little bit about your own background, how you got involved with Catholic Charities and in this program.
Sure. So I've actually been working with the elderly population for a little over 12 years, and in the Stamford area primarily. So I became aware of this challenge that so many of the elderly face, all over the place, of course, but certainly in Lower Fairfield County. And this opportunity came along for me to learn more about it and become director of the program. So I certainly was anxious to take advantage of that, and so happy that I did.
Mm. When you think about seniors today, in this particular day and age, it was not like, well, when I was a young person, I mean, really a child, my grandparent, my grandmother would live with us. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different thing. I mean, we have a society with so many broken families, broken realities, and now, and half the time with grandparents having raised their kids. So you got a wild situation where places where you have children married and have a grandparent apartment. It may be very rare these days. Do you find that might be a factor, or what are some of the factors for senior nutrition becoming such a large concern today?
So, I mean, we do definitely find that people are living with blended families, but in this climate today and in the region where we live, so many people have to work, and it's, you know, it's both the man and the woman working. So it leaves the senior at home, sometimes in the caregiving role of the grandchildren, but most times on their own for most of the day. And so for those seniors that are strictly homebound, that's really the purpose of our home-delivered meal or Meals on Wheels program, is for the homebound elderly, those who really can't get out and have no way of affording themselves of a nutritious, good meal.
Mm. Now, is regard to Meals on Wheels, Is that the Meals on Wheels we all know, or is this specifically a Catholic Charities?
It's more or less a sort of traditional Meals on Wheels program, mm-hmm. but because we're federally funded, we do have some pretty strict regulations that we need mm-hmm. to follow. The seniors who are eligible for our program must be 60 or older and have to be homebound, of course, other than going to a medical appointment, but certainly don't have the ability to go out and go food shopping or the means to do that, really.
Do they have to live alone or on their own?
No. We have, like I said, all sort of different living situations. Mm-hmm. We do have some people who definitely live on their own. I would say probably the majority of our clients are alone. But we do have those who live with family or, you know, maybe one other child. But again, that child is working all day, and so it makes it very difficult to get, you know, the proper nutrition to their parent.
And they have access to the house, I presume. And when they come in to the home, they have to be able to get in there.
So our drivers, it's interesting, they have a very challenging position because not only are they delivering the meal, but they're also providing a safety check. Mm-hmm. for the clients who generally, like I said, are home alone during the day. And so, yes, we have all kinds of tips for them on how to gain access to the home, especially if it's an apartment building. You know, there are special instructions on how to get in or, you know, are there codes that you need, you know, kind of specific things like that. Usually, you know, because the person obviously wants the meal as badly as the driver wants to deliver it. So we usually work something out where the driver is able to gain access nicely.
Mm. Now, you did mention that sort of awareness of safety, perhaps some safety issues, or who really goes into the home, by the way?
So our driver really, as I say, does provide not only the delivery of the meal, but certainly a safety check. I mean, because we have the same clients assigned to the same driver on a pretty regular basis, they get to know the client quite well and sort of know their routine. And, you know, they can sort of be tipped off to if they walk into the home and something doesn't seem quite right. They would typically call the office and report it to us, and then we would follow up with the emergency contact, you know, or the client themselves just to sort of find out what's going on, if anything. You know, everybody has a bad day once in a while. Mm-hmm. But the drivers are very aware of the fact that it's not only a delivery service, that it's definitely, you know, a safety check, as well as if they notice there's maybe some hoarding going on, or if the client might be kind of wearing the same clothes over and over, or the food is piling up in the refrigerator. All of those are kind of signs that probably something more is going on.
Mm-hmm. And now, that's very good to know that you have the same driver, that there's a relationship that develops, and they get to notice that person. I'm just wondering, if they notice something like a change, maybe medically, or in regard to health, in regard to the person, is it up to them? I mean, would the driver let you know that? Or
so, I mean, we have a couple of different situations where we've had drivers walk in on people who have fallen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously that's a scary situation, both for the client and the driver. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing we say to the driver is, if you do run into a situation like that, you know, try and reassure the client that you're getting help, et cetera, but certainly don't try and move them yourself because you don't know exactly what happened, and we're not medically trained. So the driver would call the office and then call 911 and wait with the client until help arrives. Now, if it's something that's sort of a little less severe and maybe notices the client's a little confused, which might be out of the norm for them, they would call the office, and then someone in the office would follow up again with the emergency contact just to say, you know, we're noticing something's not quite right.
Do they spend, the person delivering the food, spend some time with the person, or is it something where they have many people to bring things to?
So we deliver about 250 meals a day. Mm-hmm. So the drivers, their routes are pretty extensive. Mm-hmm. So they don't really have time to spend with the client in any sort of long-term sort of basis, but, you know, like a couple minutes with the client just to make sure that everything is good and there are no issues. But, you know, again, with the client and the driver seeing each other 5 days out of seven every week, the driver pretty much knows kind of right off the bat if something doesn't seem quite right.
You say 5 days out of seven, so it's a Monday through Friday?
It's a Monday delivery? Through Friday delivery, but we do deliver with meals up to 7 days. Ah. So on Thursdays and Fridays, we deliver meals for the weekend.
For the weekend. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh,
that's really, really
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm.
Boy. Now, how do meals planned? Is it going to be the same planning? I don't know how you could possibly have designer meals for everyone, but how are the meals prepared?
So basically, as I mentioned, we are a federally funded program, and so there are a lot of regulations to follow, not only with the deliveries, but certainly with the food, right? Because that's the main topic of discussion.
Right.
So we follow a six-week cycle menu, and it's planned with all of the nutrition providers in the state, actually, along with our caterer and a registered dietitian. So we go through and make sure not only are we having meals that are appealing visually, but also are very nutritionally balanced and meet the nutrition requirements. Once that process has been finished and the registered dietitian does her final analysis, she then has to send it to the state dietitian. And once the state dietitian approves of all of the meals, then we can sort of publish the menu and move forward.
Mm. I presume they're aware or on the lookout for allergies, things like that.
So we are...
Not easy.
It's not easy because there are so many people that we serve.
Mm.
And generally what we say is if you have an allergy maybe to seafood, we kind of get that one a lot. We just encourage people because we're not able to customize meals individually because of the amount of people we serve. Mm. We just encourage people to substitute it with something from home that day. And we try to be very aware so that maybe the driver will say, I know today's seafood and you can't eat that type of thing, but we definitely can't customize it individually.
So there's a wide range of nutritional value too, so the rest of the meal might be.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like vegetables and a starch.
As I was thinking of that, my mind's going and I'd say to myself, it's not simply allergies. Also, it's medication. I take medication where I'm not supposed to eat certain foods.
Exactly. And so, again, we do kind of rely on the family and the client to sort of realize that and be able to, manage that on their own. But we also do often get phone calls to our office with questions to say, I'm taking a certain medication, maybe for hypertension. Is it okay if I eat this? And we generally say, if you're uncertain about it, probably should contact your doctor's office because, again, we aren't really medically trained to do that, so we don't want to steer them in the wrong direction.
Now, for the people you're serving, do they get a weekly menu so they can anticipate when they're going to get a meal? Maybe they can't eat a part portion?
Right. Mm-hmm. So we don't provide a menu to the Meals on Wheels clients. Because sometimes if the caterer can't get something from their supply house, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have another component to our program. It's called the Congregate Meal Program. Mm. And we have 8 meal sites throughout Lower Fairfield County. And they're at a variety of locations, but mostly at senior residence buildings and senior centers. Mm. And we do publish menus for those sites. These programs are really meant a little bit like for more independent seniors who are able to get to a site on their own and certainly benefit from the socialization that takes place there. Generally, like at the senior centers, there's, a full day's activity planned around the lunch. And so generally seniors will say, if Monday's bingo, I really enjoy bingo, so I'm definitely going to go and stay for lunch.
Mm.
So they typically plan their day around what activities are being offered. And again, at those sites, the menu is published, so they kind of know what's going to be served each day.
So at the risk of a very inaccurate term of soup kitchen, it's much, much more.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, it definitely is. At our congregate sites, it's a very vibrant, environment. It's the program staff, certainly at the senior centers, appreciate the meal much more so than if it weren't being offered because, again, it kind of completes the schedule for the day. So not only are activities being offered, but then also the meal, which is nice because then they know that their members are having a nutritious meal as well.
Mm. And again, providing the the person with a lot more than just a meal, socially.
Exactly.
All kinds of
Yes, absolutely.
Nice event. Yeah. Wow. You know, I kind of glossed over the qualifications, and I know as somebody who is cannot get out as far as your delivery service or that aspect of the program. What are the qualifications are there?
So the qualifications, whether you're at a congregate site or at home, are that you have to be 60 years or older in order to participate in the program. And for the Meals on Wheels clients specifically, again, the requirement is that you're homebound so that you're not, you know, you don't have the ability to run out and go shopping. Generally, you aren't driving. You know, if you have to go out for a medical appointment, obviously that's important. But our driver isn't allowed to leave the meal at your house. They actually have to see the client in order to make the delivery. So not always is that easy. It's it can be a struggle for some people who sort of want to take advantage of the service but really aren't homebound. So we do run into that.
Is there any cost for the individual?
So whether you're at a congregate site or receiving Meals on Wheels, all we ask for is a suggested donation. Nothing, you know, if you aren't able to pay, we certainly don't turn you away or, you know, not serve you. But because we're a charity, we certainly appreciate any donations. Exactly. So we send monthly statements to our Meals on Wheels clients. And on the bottom of the statement, it says, this is a suggested donation. So certainly, you know, if you can pay $5, great. And if you can't pay anything, you know, we certainly understand.
I understand that, too.
Yeah.
Well, now, as far as now going back to the person delivering the meal, I got a funny feeling because of my own experience. I'm a hospital chaplain for 15 years and other things before retirement. Quite often, I know that the person, because they're usually restricted in movement, we'll start asking if you could do this, if you could do that for them, if it's the other things for them. Are there things that the person serving the meal can do for them and restrictions of what they obviously can't do? I mean, you mentioned the idea you can't lift for people. Or
right. So typically what we tell drivers is, we know you're, you know, we recognize that you're running into a client who might be lonely, and often the driver is the only person they come into contact with every single day. So that contact is critical. We know that. But we also have to be aware that they have such a large route and, you know, a limited amount of time to make those deliveries. So we try to encourage the drivers, you know, to engage with the client. We want them to get to know them and have that relationship, but not spend any sort of amount of time at their house, because it does, it could get into, you know, kind of doing chores at the house or helping them out, that type of thing. But certainly, especially regarding the meals, we do have drivers who run into, you know, a client who might say, can you just put that meal in the refrigerator for me? I can't really get up today, that kind of thing. And they'll do it. And it does afford them the opportunity to then notice if meals are piling up or if there's food in the refrigerator that maybe isn't so good. So it definitely does afford that opportunity, but we do encourage them not to stay too long.
Well, when you look at the program and all the volunteers, I could ask about that, but all the staff, what does the staff consist of for, let's say, your site?
Yeah, so basically we have, you know, administrative staff in the office who take care of client phone calls and calls from referral sources to get a client signed up for the program. And then we have seven drivers on the road every day. They're paid drivers. We started off as, like, entertaining the idea of volunteer drivers. And in the beginning, it was sort of a mix of both. But as the program developed and grew, it became very difficult to maintain it with just volunteer drivers.
We have 250 meals. The people expecting that delivery volunteer, you never know.
Exactly. And with the amount of regulations that we're bound by, it's very difficult to hold a volunteer to that. So, and then at each congregate site, I have a site manager who basically receives the food from the caterer, records the temperatures of the food before it's served, and then helps to serve and clean up the meal afterwards. So we have about five of those, and they're all part-time.
Now, the paid drivers, is that through government funding? Or is it?
So it's a combination. I mean, most of our grant funds go to the food because that's really what it's meant for, but certainly helps us to, you know, we use a portion of it for salaries and personnel costs.
Mm. Now, I think it's important that people also recognize that what you do is such a big, and Catholic Charities in Fairfield County is such a large umbrella organization. Do you have interaction with other of the Catholic Charity programs, respecting, of course, the program you run?
Not really Catholic Charities per se. There's a Catholic Charities USA, which is based in Washington, D.C., so mm-hmm. we do have some relationship with them. Certainly would go to them for maybe advice or just kind of input on like what they would do in certain situations. But we're definitely have great partnerships with local senior service organizations, specifically the senior centers and senior residences where our congregate sites are located. And, of course, the Southwestern Connecticut Agency on Aging is our funder. Mm-hmm. So they oversee basically the day-to-day operations in conjunction with me and my office, and they administer the grant funds to us from the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a great relationship with them.
Well, that's really, really good. Do you have a lot of family involvement with this program regard to the people you try to help?
It really varies. Unfortunately, there are some people who have no one.
Mm.
You know, they just don't have any family or the family's not involved.
Mm.
And then, on the other hand, we do have families who are very involved and very grateful for the service that we're providing. Perhaps they live, you know, out of state and they aren't able to be here every day to support their mother or father or, you know, aunt or uncle in their day-to-day needs, but they certainly know that they can call us and rely on us for nutrition services.
Because, and I recognize that more now in my time of life, that you want to be as independent as you can for as long as you can, even when you're not really all that, you're really more dependent than anything. But what I was wondering, too, is before we lose our time, I'd like to ask how people can contact your program, not simply people who are interested in having someone help, but someone who may be interested in helping.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So the best way to contact us is either just call our office directly or go on to our website, which is ccfairfield.org, and then under that web page is all of the programs of Catholic Charities, including senior nutrition.
Okay, and I guess anyone can just Google Catholic Charities.
Exactly, Catholic Charities of
Fairfield County. Fairfield County, especially.
Right, yes.
To get involved with that one.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
What about the, let's talk about helping. Do you look to parishes for any kind of help?
So, interestingly enough, we do face challenges kind of often with finding drivers. And so we have called upon our local parishes, because it's a great opportunity for maybe someone who's retired or only wants to work part-time, and it's a rewarding job because, you know, you're really helping people who are in need. So we've tapped on the parish's shoulders, certainly recently, to put ads in their bulletins to help us out and find drivers who could deliver the meals for our clients.
Mm. You know, I again, thinking of time in life, I was of course, born in 1947, so I was right at the beginning of the baby boomer era, and I just keep thinking of that huge group of people, and they're all getting more and more into that, maybe I will look for your services. So you seem to be a director of a program that not only has a future, but has a huge need. How do you foresee things, or is there a strategy coming about in regard to, let's say, a burgeoning amount of people?
So I think that's definitely a need and something that we talk about pretty often. It's interesting because our program is very fluid in that people come on and off the program quite often for any number of reasons, whether it's hospitalization or maybe they move away or they have someone move in with them for a little while. So they don't need the meals anymore. And we do often talk to our funder regarding this particular subject because in the end, we'd be relying on them really to provide additional funding to our program should the need arise. I mean, right now we're sort of managing within our budget, But certainly if we had a major influx of clients, we would have to address it with them because they certainly administer the funds to us, so they would be the ones to sort of give it the green light.
Mm. So you would see a program that, folks, it might involve more and more help along the way. And I presume Catholic Charities might step in itself.
Catholic Charities really is a huge supporter of all of the programs, but certainly senior nutrition is a very expensive program to run between all of the overhead and the staff time and the caterers. And so it does involve quite a bit of cost, and Catholic Charities has been very generous to us in supporting our program. It's one of the biggest programs of Catholic Charities is the senior nutrition program. So it's a valuable program to them as well.
My goodness. Yeah. Now, if someone would like to make contributions to specifically, not simply Catholic Charities General, but specifically to your program, is that possible?
Absolutely. We do certainly always accept donations and are very grateful for any donations. Again, you can donate online. We have on our website, again, at ccfairfield.org. You could certainly go on that web page and click on the Senior Nutrition Program, and there's a donation button that you can click on.
Oh, really?
Yes, to donate online. And you could also, if that's not convenient, you could certainly call our office and, just mail us a check. We could give the instructions on the contact information, et cetera.
Mm. Well, I'd like to have our listeners, as we draw close to the end of this program, aware that we have a wonderful conversation with Maureen Neuberger. And Maureen is the director of the Senior Nutrition Program for Catholic Charities of Fairfield County. Now, I know this program, being online, you listen to this program online, too, could reach you anywhere. But it's important, I think, that they may recognize that most places have a Catholic Charities offices, I presume.
Yes.
And do you find that this program exists in many other parts of not only the state, but
this program does exist in other parts of the state and nationwide, but it's not always sponsored by Catholic Charities. It's often just an independent Meals on Wheels program. Mm-hmm. Because it's smaller, they can sort of maintain that and, have volunteers deliver the meals. So I'd say there's a good mix, depending upon demographically where it's located.
Okay, great. Well, let me ask you dream a little bit. And this would be, what would you, taking a look at your as you oversee everything, what would you like to see develop for your program?
I mean, I'd love to see an increase, certainly, in the services and the area that we can cover. Mm-hmm. Right now we're concentrated primarily in lower Fairfield County, so I'd love to see it kind of, I know there's a certain need throughout the state, and I'd love to be able to kind of increase our presence in different parts of the state so that we could provide those critical services to the homebound elderly. Mm-hmm.
Well, Maria, I sure wish and pray and hope that everything goes well for you.
Thank you.
And I'm sure it will.
Thanks.
As you keep an eye on things. And as an old-timer, I appreciate all you do. God
thanks
bless
very
you.
Much. Thanks,
very
Father
good.
Ray.
And I thank our listeners for being with us today on Thoughts for the Week. I hope that you will join us again next time. And again, we're very thankful for Maureen Neuberger and her wonderful work in senior nutrition for Catholic Charities of Fairfield County. God bless everyone. Have a great week.